You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. We were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. What a show I have for you today. This is a show I've been looking forward to. My guest today is Crystal Heffner of Playboy fame, the wife of Hugh Heffner, the iconic figure of Playboy for several years up until the time he died when he was 91 years old. I'm intrigued by this because I am intrigued by, first of all, Playboy, which was an iconic brand. And it was a brand that was veiled in mystery. And it was a huge, huge brand. And again, look, I'm not getting into the politics of right, wrong, if it's good or bad. We all have our own opinions on that. What is undeniable is that the brand that was Playboy was massive. Massive. It started in 1958. A young Hugh Heffner in Chicago created this magazine out of thin air. He borrowed $8,000, including $1,000 from his mom, to put out the first magazine. And the first magazine was Naked Pictures of Marilyn Monroe. Easily the biggest sex symbol, movie star, human on the face of the earth at the time. He bought these pictures from a calendar. And so Marilyn Monroe wasn't even tied into this financially, which is another kind of story. And maybe it's foreshadowing for, you know, how he treated people and the misogyny and narcissism of it all with Hugh Heffner. But he published this magazine that sold 54,000 copies and Playboy was launched. And say what you will, but the biggest celebrities in the world posed for Playboy, posed nude for Playboy. Marilyn Monroe, Madonna, Pam Anderson, and one of the most famous magazines ever was the Pam Anderson edition. Raquel Welch, Bo Derek, Kim Basinger, Cindy Crawford, Vanna White. Yes, Vanna White was a part of the Charlize Theron. So the list goes on and on and on. Kim Kardashian, you name it. They all posed for Playboy. It was a launching point for a lot of careers. And it was a magazine that in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, as a celebrity, man or woman, you wanted to be a part of. Steve Martin graced the cover. There were great editorials, phenomenal articles were written, and Playboy always, quote unquote, kept it classy. It was fascinating to watch Playboy grow, and it really hit its peak when I was born. In 1971, it went public. In 1972, it really reached its peak of 7 million subscribers for the publication, the magazine. And if you don't know what a magazine is, kids, Google it. But magazines were mailed to your house and or on newsstands, and it was huge. It was everywhere, in the airport. I mean, seeing who graced the cover and who the centerfold was of Playboy was a very big honor at the time. But what we didn't know was, what was life like behind the curtain? What was life like at the mansion, this grandiose mansion that we all heard of? And I was a Midwestern boy, so I had this idea of the glamour and the celebrity and the sex appeal of the mansion. And it's something I saw firsthand when I moved out to LA, and I actually went to the mansion for a couple of parties. I actually took my wife there. We were invited and we went. It was very odd and very dated. And that brings me full circle to Crystal Heffner, who just published a book, and this book dropped. The book is called Only Say Good Things, Surviving Playboy and Finding Myself. And she is breaking this down in episodes of a podcast you can check out, Beneath the Surface. But Crystal Heffner came into the mansion when she was 21 years old, back in 2008. She became one of Hef's girls. She then became engaged and got married to Hef. So her insight is incredible. Crystal Heffner is gracious enough to come on, and I have so many questions for her as we dive in to her book and her life and the history of Playboy with Crystal Heffner. Crystal Heffner, thank you so much for joining me. As I said in the intro, I am so intrigued by you, by Playboy, by all of it. And I'm sure that is the reaction you have gotten from everywhere you have been over the last week while you've been promoting this book.
Yeah. The response has been overwhelming. It feels completely surreal. So many positive reviews, and it's happening.
It's positive. What has the overall response been? What have people been saying to you? What's the online vibe? Is it all positive? Are you getting any negative? What are the main questions you're getting? Just curious what that feel is.
I'm getting responses like, I wish the book would have kept going. Like, I didn't want it to end. And I think that's been the highest compliment. People tell me that they can relate to it. You know, it's interesting because it's the Playboy Mansion, which is this place that's unique and can never be repeated again. But these people are relating in ways in their own lives. And, you know, we dive into topics of self-worth and self-love and bad relationships, abusive relationships, narcissistic relationships, and just it's running the gamut of of ways people are relating to the book.
When I was thinking, okay, doing my research, reading all these articles and podcasts and stuff, thinking about what am I going to talk to you about, that is the biggest issue. I feel like with you, it's almost like drinking from a fire hydrant, because I'm 52 years old, so I grew up in the latter stages of Playboy's iconic, legendary run. Obviously, it became really popular late 50s, 60s, 70s, and then through the 80s, 90s, it arced, right? And so it really peaked in the 70s and hung around for quite some time. But then there's the you of it all, and unveiling, unmasking this really mysterious world behind Hugh Heffner and behind the Playboy Mansion that you were obviously entrenched in.
Yeah. I feel that Hef controlled the narrative for like 70 years. He meticulously like collected articles and he has 3,000 volumes of scrapbooks. And so he just controlled the narrative like so perfectly, exactly how he wanted to for so long. And I just feel that it's time for other voices, because you know, a lot of us had a different experience.
Well, I'm sure everyone did, right? I mean, Holly Madison wrote her book, and now you've come out with yours. And I can't imagine anyone's experience is similar. And so let's get into yours. You are 21 years old. It is there's two big, really huge Playboy parties of the year. There's the Halloween and that Midsummer Night's Dream party, right? Those are like the two iconic ones.
Yes.
And so you are 21 years old. I believe it's 2008. And you come to the Playboy Mansion for the iconic Halloween party. Is that's the first time you ever came to the Playboy Mansion or met Hef?
Yeah. I'd never seen a celebrity before in my life. I was from San Diego. It's kind of a much smaller town than LA.
It's funny. It's like two years and 2,000 miles apart. I mean, the worlds are so different from San Diego to LA, even though they seem close. So so a friend takes you.
Yeah. So I submitted my photos to go to the party. You have to be approved. You have to look okay enough to be invited.
Okay. So this is interesting to me. So let's go back, because I attended with my ex-wife one of those big parties. Obviously, our experience was very different. I was so intrigued to go to the mansion, and we'll talk about the mansion in a little bit.
Yeah, I would love to, because I remember meeting you at the party.
I do too. let's not give away the big tease yet. But okay. So I'm just curious. Your friend says, "Okay, we're going to this party, but we need to send headshots, full body photos to get in." Is that because I this is a weird experience for me? I didn't know this side of it.
Yeah, you have to send full body photos front and back.
Wow. So they tell you, get in a bikini, take some photos, send these in, and Hef is probably going to go through them personally to choose who's going to be at this party.
Yeah, I'm not sure who went through them. I have a feeling it was somebody else that knew what kind of vibe Hef wanted there. Because once we got up, there was another step.
Oh my gosh. So this is like trying to get into a movie. There's an audition process. So you get to the mansion. Obviously, there is a huge sense of naivete. You have no idea what you're getting into. You show up at, it is a star-studded event. Even still in 2008, this is a big event. There's celebrities. It's crazy. Some women are half naked, full naked, whatever, running around. It's a thing. Are you nervous? Are you scared? Are you just excited?
Yeah, I was all of those things. You know, you show up to the parking garage because you get shuttled from UCLA or wherever it was.
Which is really weird, by the way, because just stop you there for a sec. That's a weird thing. Everybody's dressed up, scantily clad and, half naked or naked. And you pull into the UCLA dorm parking garage. You're on like the third floor of a parking garage and you get in a van. It's really weird.
Yeah, you're on like a college campus dressed that way. And then in the parking garage, I felt a big sense of imposter syndrome because I see all these other women and they look stunning and maybe better outfits than mine or more skimpy or whatever the vibe is. But we get into the parking garage and then somebody takes a Polaroid photo of us. And I thought, oh, that's weird. There's this whole underbelly, this whole other side to this glamorous party. So we get our photo taken. It's a Polaroid camera. At the time, I just feel, special that someone wants to take my picture to like put it somewhere. I'm not sure. But all the girls get their photo taken. Polaroid comes out. They keep it. They keep all the photos. And I later found out that what happens is after the party's over, all those Polaroids go to Hef and he rates them like A through D. And the A girls get invited to whatever the next event is.
Right.
And if the A's and B's maybe, and if the A's and B's can't come, then they move down to C and then they move down to D.
Wow.
So basically the women going, we're creating this kind of Rolodex for the next parties. So that's the first step of feeling kind of objectified or just seen as an object or decoration.
Yeah.
That I experienced. But in that moment, I was just excited. And I went from the parking garage up to the Playboy Mansion to the Halloween party, which I'd never seen any type of party like that at all, like decoration wise. It truly feels like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
And you've gotten the golden ticket.
Yeah, you've definitely gone down the rabbit hole for sure. Yeah. And so you're there and you're having a cocktail, having a good time, dancing, doing whatever. how did you meet Hef? How did you run into him? Because that's not always the case for people that show up. You don't usually even see Hef at a lot of these parties, much less meet him.
Yeah. A lot of the time he'll just come in the go down to the cabana and he's all roped off and just for a few minutes and then he leaves the party. This time I was with a very extroverted friend. At that time I was very introverted and very insecure.
Yeah.
And we see this wave of people going toward these empty cabanas. And my friend said, that must be Hef. That must be Hef. Let's go. She pulls me across. We see this just wave. Everyone's just following. I couldn't even see where he was, but he goes into this main cabana that's meant for him. And it's all roped off, like the stanchion and the red ropes. And my friend pulls us to the front of him, right in front of the cabana. So we're standing there with all these women like lined up and we're all trying to catch a glimpse of Hugh Hefner. First time I've ever seen a celebrity in my life. I'm like, there he is. And we're looking, we're watching like he's like we're at the zoo.
Right.
And he's like
just an staring at him, yes.
In the enclosure, like, whoa. My friend starts waving, like, oh, over here. And he looks over at her waving. And then he turns and his gaze falls on me. And I'm like, do that. Like me?
Yeah.
And he summoned for his security guards to let me in to the enclosure.
into the exhibit.
Yes. So I'm let in, you know, whatever Hef wants, Hef gets. Right. So there's a team of people just trying to get me in there. And so I get into where Hef is. My soul has left my body at that point. And I sit down next to him. Can't believe I'm actually inside this enclosure in the cabana. Yeah. And I'm sitting right next to Hef.
And you guys start having this conversation. What is that first initial conversation like? Is it sweet? Is it kind? Is he flirty?
I think Hef was very magnetic.
Yeah.
He was very charming. He asked me what I did. And I thought, oh, you know, I don't have a job. Like, this is awkward.
Right.
And I said, the truth, which was I'm a student studying psychology at San Diego State. It was my last semester. You know, little did I know, like Hef liked that. The younger, the better, right?
Right.
So he says, oh, I was a psychology major at the University of Illinois. So I'm like, oh, you know, that, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, yeah, we're relating. This is cool. And pretty shortly after, he asked me if I wanted to go join the group in the house. And if I wanted to stay through the weekend, he said, we have movies all weekend. Would you like to stay the weekend? And I was just in a trance and feeling like I was on top of the world.
Right.
This is how the other half lived.
Yeah. You're the belle of the ball.
Yeah. Cinderella.
So it progresses. Yeah. You go into the house. You say, okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
Let's give this a whirl. And it's not just you. There are, I'm sure, dozens of.
There were the twins.
Yes.
Who recently had moved in. And another girl who they met the night before named Melissa. Her and I connected almost instantly. And we are both from San Diego.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before you got excited and all that, did anybody warn you, or is it just kind of pandemonium excitement and you're just on this wave that just kind of sweeps you into the house?
Definitely on the wave.
Okay. So you're on this wave of emotion. And again, there's other celebs there and everybody goes into the house. What is that experience? You're into the house. Does this go up to the bedroom, or are you guys having cocktails down at the bar? What's going on?
No, Hef is definitely not a cocktails at the bar type person. He is a creature of habit.
Okay.
So, his schedule is very, very strict, but we went straight up to the bedroom. We go into the house. There's a great hall, and it's like the perfect example of like an English Tudor home. It was ornate. There was stained glass, and there was the staircase. It's like a double staircase going up, and we just started going up the staircase, and I just thought, okay, I guess we're going to his bedroom. This is Playboy. You know, this is the Playboy mansion.
But I mean, okay, he's 81, you're 21, and you're with these other girls. At this point, is it just down to him and the girls?
Is it down to him?
No, is it? It's just half and these, the few of you ladies. It's, there's no other people, guys, celebs, whatever. It's just Hef and four or five girls.
Yes.
Okay. So y'all get to the bedroom. What is that? I mean, you had to be somewhat having this out of body experience, but at the same time, what the is going on?
I know. Like, okay, I'm just along for the ride. These other girls are here. I don't know what's about to happen. And we end up in Hef's bedroom, which is wild. You know, there was carved wood everywhere, lots of like naked photos and sculptures. And it felt like kind of a cabin on a cruise ship or
okay.
some kind of, it was interesting, but I had never seen anything like it in my life. You know, I'd never seen carved wood on the walls or, you know, turns out he has pajamas in every single color of the rainbow. It was all so new to me.
And I mean, the place is very dated. I will say that. It's, you know, that's one thing that struck me when I was there is I'm like, oh, this place looks like it probably was something back in the 70s, maybe, or when it was built. But you're like, it's dated now. It's a little odd, some of it.
Yeah. 1971, I believe.
Yeah. the year I was born.
Wow, so, really?
Yes. So the moment you get in there, they close the door. Does he say any? What does he say? What do people just, okay, let's take off our clothes. What does he command everybody? You said he's very ritualistic in that way. What does he do? What does he tell you?
He goes over to the bed, and the girls that had been there before, the twins, they were only 19 at the time. Uh-huh. They brought me into the closet. I believe Melissa came as well. She was the other girl in the cabana, and picked out one of Hef's silk pajamas for us to wear. So the routine, they knew the routine. So yeah, they told me we all put on a pair of Hef's pajamas, which we all did, all different colors. And then we proceed to the bedroom where he's sitting there kind of waiting for us. He's started pushing his 70s style buttons that, you know, something out of Austin Powers, where he pushes it and then all of a sudden the TV's playing porn. He pushes something else and there's all of a sudden music comes on. It's like a Madonna CD. I'm like, okay, I guess this is happening.
What's happening? I mean, what goes on? So now it gets sexual?
Yeah, sex with Hugh Hefner. And
so it's four girls and Hugh, and yes, this is going on. And so you're, did the two young, did they start kind of leading this? So obviously they know the drill, they know how this goes. And were they kind of guiding you through this?
Yeah, well, it was like a thing. It's like people take turns having sex with Hef, and I don't know, maybe like for a minute or something. And then it's like the next person. It was something that felt very robotic and awkward. And even to the point where I thought, is he even into this?
Right.
Like, because I don't know.
And what are you thinking at the time? Like, what is your emotion?
I'm thinking that I have no idea what's going on. This is weird. I guess this is what is expected to come into the house. I don't know, but I'm just going to do this and get it over with.
And are you thinking, so you're 21 years old, he's 81. And just so I know your frame of mind, like, are you hammered? Are you high? Or are you just like, this is going to be an experience in my book someday, I'm just going to do this?
I had a few glasses of champagne. I don't drink. Like, I'm not really a drinker. So I did have a few glasses that night. So maybe I was a little, you know, woozy on that. You know, Hef pulls out pot and passes it around. The twins smoked. I didn't, you know, I'm not someone that smokes. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of secondhand kind of got to me. But the whole time I felt like I'm in some kind of weird dream anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you, my guess is the attraction to Hef is the aura. It is Playboy. It's the mansion. It's all of it. It's obviously not the man, because I'm sure you've gotten that question before of, did you find him attractive?
Yeah. I feel that a lot of it's the reason everyone goes, right? They're intrigued. They want to know what it's like. They've heard about it, but they haven't seen it. Hef is, when I first met him, he was magnetic. He seemed powerful. He's surrounded by yes people. He has a staff of about 70 people that waited on his every need. It's this place where you're like, wow, this guy is truly the king of his castle and of this world. And I remember seeing Playboy magazines when I was a teenager and looking at the women and feeling, wow, these women must be so powerful and have the world at their feet. So it did feel like a place of power, and maybe a place I felt like I could belong.
And so you did belong soon after this, but do you spend the night? Did you spend the weekend? How did the relationship, because you quickly became one of not only his favorites, but the favorite. And so how did that progress so quickly?
Yeah, I remember that first night the twins went to their room and the other girl that was there and myself, we kind of fell asleep in the bed with Hef. This is a bed that was custom made. Like, the sheets had to be custom. You could probably fit like seven people comfortably laying in this bed. So we ended up falling asleep in Hef's room, and You know, all of a sudden he's asleep. I'm the type of person, it's kind of uncomfortable if I'm not in my own bed.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, this must have been I'm not sure how you slept at all that night.
No, barely. And, you know, he had like the satin sheets, and so they're slippery and it was awkward. So the next day we wake up, he's still kind of asleep. I look over at the girl with me that I just met, and we're like, okay, this is weird. What do we do? So we kind of leave the bedroom while half still sleeping, make our way downstairs and meet some of the staff. And the staff tell us, oh, we can order breakfast. We can order whatever we want. It's like a restaurant style kitchen. There's always someone in there to cook.
Right.
We're like, wow, this is so cool.
And so you felt kind of like a kid in the candy store, like this, the life, because I think what people will wonder is what was so alluring for you? What was so enticing that drew you in? You know, even after this weekend that you had, or that night that you had, it's like, okay, that was wild. I'm getting the F out of here and heading back to my life. Like, this is crazy. So what was it that set the hook in you that was so alluring? You're like, no, I'm going to go back to this and stay here.
Yeah, I think that next day after we had breakfast and we thought to ourselves, like, let's go. We may not ever be back here ever again, so let's go explore.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what rooms can we go in, what rooms can't we go in. So we just started walking around the property. We saw the animals. I'm like, wow, there's a zoo here. And then we went to over where the gym is, and like, wow, a full gym at their house. And then we saw tanning beds. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Then we discovered the tennis court and the game house, and like, all the games are free. This is so cool. You know, being, you think you're grown up when you're 21, but you're right, still just a child. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. I hadn't seen anything like it in my life. And I did think, wow, this is a place like I want to be a part of.
So after that night, you're like, this is something that feels big to me, and this might be my big break. It was that kind of the feeling, was this might be a huge move for me in life?
Yeah, my whole life, I always felt small. My mom and I had no money, like after my dad passed away. And so I always felt that everyone was better than me. It was hard. So coming from that mindset and then being somewhere where you're important, or you feel valued. So you kind of push it out of your mind. You're like, oh, okay, like he expects us to do this like sexual stuff, but you know, we also get to do all this fun stuff. And I guess I just didn't really think about it too much. Just the good parts in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, was it, and it, I mean, this might sound weird, but it, was it easy to compartmentalize the sexual stuff with Hef? Because I think that's where people are like, oh, but it sounds like, from what you've said and what other people have said in their books, is that was a very, and I don't mean this as a play on words, but a very small part of life there, because there was not that much to deal with Hef. It's like, he was 81 years old and getting older. And so it was like, okay, if I just do this, I can have the rest of this as my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sex stuff was maybe like once a week. But not in the beginning. So, you know, he did expect that like throughout the weekend. And, I started compartmentalizing, like, oh, okay, like, let's go.
But was there a friendship at least though? Like, I mean, was he a means to an end, or was there in the beginning, because I'm trying to figure out the relationship, was there a friendship? Was there admiration? Was there ever love? Like, did you ever love Hugh Hefner?
I think in the beginning I was trying to just figure it out and figure him out. And
yeah.
Yeah. Over time I realized there was love. I was not in love with him. I think, you know, common sense is if somebody wants four other women in the bed, they can't be in love with you.
Right. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabel, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
After the Halloween party, when did it become apparent, or did he make it clear, hey, Crystal, I want you to be my girl, be one of my girls, and be here full time?
Well, after the weekend movie nights, I went back to San Diego on Monday. And I thought, wow, how am I going to move forward with my life after that? It was like a dream that I don't want to wake up from this dream. And I guess I didn't have to, because Monday evening I got a missed call from a number I didn't recognize. And there was a voicemail from Hugh Hefner asking me to move in.
Wow. It was that quick. I mean, 3 days later, he's like, hey, move into the mansion.
Yeah.
And did you have any qualms about that or any second thoughts? You're like, great, let's do this.
No, I'm just like, great, let's see what happens.
So were you still in school? Did you finish school or did you just drop out and like that?
I left my very, very last semester. And okay. I thought to myself, I could always finish school or go back to school.
Right. And so you move into the mansion. So it's you and the twins, right?
Yeah.
And so you move into the mansion, and immediately, what is that vibe? What is the familial setup? You have your own room. And it feels like employment, like you almost have a job to do now.
Yeah. I moved into bedroom 5.
And okay. Yeah,
I guess I didn't really know what I was signing up for, because there's nothing, there's no blueprint or there's no.
Right.
I didn't know.
There's no contract. Like, are the girls, are the twins going, hey, Crystal, this is kind of what's expected of us? Or is there a liaison of Hefs that's like, okay, this is what you are going to be doing? Or is it just you move in and throw caution to the wind and see what happens?
Probably the last one. The twins now see me as a threat. I've moved into the house. They tell me nothing. And so I had to kind of ask, like the staff downstairs kind of helped me and told me, okay, Hef drinks this and he comes down at this time. And I was asking them, like, what do I do? What's the schedule? What happens here?
And what do you feel is in this for you?
I think to me, because I never wanted to be an actor or anything like that. And I only got into modeling in San Diego because, you know, it paid some more money than a regular job.
Right.
So I guess it was, maybe I feel like I could belong here. I was intrigued. I just was going to go with the flow. I finally felt that I was important in my life. Mm-hmm. But it was shortly I found out that it was all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I'm curious. You mentioned your dad passed when you were younger. How old were you when your dad passed?
I was 12.
12. Wow. I'm sorry. Wow. That is a lot for a 12-year-old girl to deal with. And so you said I read in several articles how you have been doing a lot of therapy.
Yes.
I'm sure that has come up. Do you feel like, without diving into your therapy, do you feel like that, looking back, was a part of it? Was that father figure someone who would represent that in your life?
I think abandonment issues definitely play a role. And when Hef wanted me by his side at all times, and I was rewarded for being codependent with Hef, it gave this illusion of I won't be abandoned.
Yeah. There's loyalty and you were seeking loyalty.
Yeah.
And I get that. And you said it was some time before you realized it was smoke and mirrors. What was that moment? When did you realize this was smoke and mirrors? And what does that mean?
Well, when you first go to the mansion, it's this place that seems pretty incredible on the surface.
Right.
But after living there for a while, you know, I took advantage of the 24/7 kitchen. I ended up gaining some weight. I ended up weighing 134 pounds, which is the most I've ever weighed.
Oh, good Lord. You must have been a size 2 by then, Crystal.
and then Hef like tapped me on the thigh and he's like, it looks like someone needs to tone up.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, at the time, I wasn't like, F you, that's rude. At the time, I thought, oh, wow, like I'm slipping. I can do better. I need to do better. I lost the weight, got back. I was went down to 115, and he would start telling me things like wear something more colorful, wear the flag, which is the Playboy bunny logo, change your nail polish, your roots are growing in, dye your hair. I had a bad dream that you were brunette, put it back blonde. My hair is naturally dark, and I just slowly started getting controlled. And then the mansion itself, I'm like, this place is kind of dirty. This is gross. Yeah. Like a lot of this stuff hasn't been changed out, and the just everything like emotionally and physically just started like, this is weird.
Well, the buzz is worn off, right? I mean, that high that you felt that night at the Halloween party is gone. And now reality has set in that I'm in a very controlling relationship with, as you said at the beginning of this, a narcissistic human being.
Yeah. Hef was very narcissistic. And it took me so long to really figure that out. It wasn't until my 5 years of therapy, like I've been quiet for, you know, so long trying to figure it out. And we didn't have terms then. Narcissism, I really didn't like misogyny. I didn't understand it then. And also boundaries. Like I'm only in the most recent years learning what boundaries are and how to have them.
Yeah, 21 years old, you saw this way to kind of grab the brass ring, and the power dynamic was set kind of unbeknownst to you. You kind of entered into this agreement without even not signing an agreement, but just this agreement where you kind of moved into someone who had 100% of the power. So there was no power dynamic. for you. There was no boundaries. Yeah. That is an incredibly toxic place in life and relationship for you.
Yeah, there was a massive imbalance of power. And, you know, I realize now that the bad things happen when there's such an imbalance of power. And also right. at the time, I didn't know really who I was. And, you know, I talk about it in the book that if you don't know who you are, it can be dictated to you by somebody else. And when it's dictated to you by somebody else, it could also be taken away.
Yeah. So you hope that those people that are above you, and especially, you know, he was 81, an older man, you think, okay, he has my best interest at heart. He's going to take care of me. And I'm sure that's how you felt coming into the mansion, is like, I will be cared for. There's food, there's a gym, there's all these things. These people are going to be loyal and look out for my best interest. And you realize that you were just a pawn in this game. My thanks to Crystal. And there is so much more to unpack here. That was really just the history of how we got to the present and where Crystal is today. Is she dating? Has she forgiven Hef? Is she ready to move on? There are so many more things I would love to talk to her about. So we will do that in a future episode of the Most Dramatic Podcast Ever. More with Crystal Hefner. Check it out. I encourage you, go into the link there and click the next one and listen to the next episode. But thank you for joining me today. Truly appreciate it. I enjoy these conversations and I really appreciate you being here for these conversations. I hope I am asking the questions that you were dying to ask and wanting to know about Playboy. I know I had a bunch. Check out the next episode. And until then, I'll talk to you next time because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the Most Dramatic Pod Ever and make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. We were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.